to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it's Saturday, March 10th, 2012. Spring is upon us. And speaking of that, don't forget to spring forward tonight. We've got to set those clocks ahead, and it'll start getting daylight about 4 in the morning, stay sunny until about 9 o'clock at night. And boy, don't I hate it. I don't like the summer. I wish I could live in like an eternal winter. It just is too hot. It gets too hot in the South. Too humid, too hot. I don't like it. I like cold weather. I like darkness. That's just me. But anyway, I was bred for that, you know. Northern European, that's what we're about. It's just too hot here for this Nordic stock. But we make the best of it. And the South is my more recent homeland. And, of course, my ancestors have always hailed from the South, at least in recent history. And all that good stuff, fighting for the Confederacy, and that's something, of course, I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. Even the heat and the humidity can't make me shy away from that. Anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're joining us in the Political Cesspool online chat and virtual fan party at cfcc.org. That's where you need to go if you want to join in conversation and fellowship with other friends and fans of the show, cfcc.org. Chat, of course, being sponsored by our friends at the Council of Conservative Citizens as we go out to the AM-FM affiliate stations tonight of the Liberty News Radio Network. And, of course, we're coming to you, if I failed to mention it a second ago, you should know by now, from our flagship studio tonight, AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. A great first hour tonight. I know a lot of the people in the chat right now are very excited and enthusiastic about the commentary that we delivered, and I can't take too much credit for it, other than the fact that I stumbled upon an outstanding article. I met a strategy for white advocacy. Keith and I looked at it, and we said, listen, we need to talk about this on the show, and not just mention it, mind you, but cover it in depth and in detail and comprehensively. That's what we did in the first hour. We dedicated the entire first hour to kind of breaking down a meta strategy for white advocacy. And if you missed it, don't worry. Just go back into the archives after the fact. Once we wrap things up here in a little while, go back and listen to it all over again. And you can read along for yourself at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where we have the article that served as the anchor, the template for our commentary there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But that is not the only article that you will find there. We have covered a lot of news this week, as we always do, in between shows at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You know, you keep hearing these stories, you stick around long enough, you keep your ear to the ground, you hear all kinds of things. One of the things I hear so often is that, you know, unlike me, they're not trying to get away from the weather, but a lot of paleo-conservative white folks want to move up to the hinterlands. They want to move up to Montana and Idaho, areas that or at least demographically more conducive to our constitutional and paleoconservative message. And I know Chuck Baldwin, God bless him, he went up there, took his family up there. And I guess the ultimate goal is to establish communities in which our line of thinking will be the norm, where we have like-minded people who aren't afraid to speak up on behalf of our issues on the county commissions, where we have like-minded people on the board of aldermen and mayors and sheriffs and all this stuff. And you have just good constitutionalists, you know, white paleoconservatives in positions of power, and they don't have to be ashamed of it. Well, you read all these articles about our types of people heading up there to the Pacific Northwest. Well, if they can pool their resources and come up with a mere $1.4 million, an entire town can be theirs for the taking, we found out. Not just, listen, I'm talking about it's yours lock, stock, and barrel. You don't have to worry about reaching critical mass and slowly but surely infiltrating positions of power. You can buy the whole town. Buy an entire town, $1.4 million. Well, it's not a very big one. It's Prey, Montana. Just 30 miles outside of Yellowstone Park. It's just a five-acre village. I mean, 5 acres isn't very much for a town. Apparently, 197 people live on that 5 acres. That's what the story says. That seems pretty crowded. But it has its own post office. It has its own zip code. Killer views of the mountains. A general store. Pretty interesting. I wish it was a little more than 5 acres, but what will $1.4 million buy you these days? But according to the story here, the town was founded in 1907, Prey, Montana. And the entire town's for sale. And you get some celebrity neighbors if you buy the town. Actors Dennis Quaid, Peter Fonda, and Jeff Bridges, the dude himself from The Big Lebowski. They all have homes near the area. We actually have the official real estate listing at our website tonight. So if we have an enterprising paleoconservative with a couple of million to spare, at least $1.5 million, start your own town and invite me to come and give a talk. I would love to see something like this happen. But anyway, moving from the abstract to the more serious, to the more real. It's not your grandpa's Marine Corps anymore. A story that's sad, disgusting, ridiculous, immoral, and abnormal. The headline news story reads, "A Marine famous for kissing his partner at a homecoming just wanted to show him how much he loved him." So apparently not long ago, a so-called soldier, a so-called Marine, comes home back to Hawaii, and he runs up into his homosexual lover's arms, and he jumps into his arms, and he wraps his arms and legs around him, and then they engage in a kiss. We actually have the picture up for you there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. If I had to paint a verbal picture, I would tell you to imagine a cheerleader rushing the court and jumping into the arms of the hero who just scored the game-winning touchdown, holding him, embracing him, wrapping his legs around him, or wrapping her legs around him. That's the first thing I thought of. Except it's a Marine doing this to his boyfriend. Now you would think that a story like this would be met with righteous indignation, but certainly it was in the hearts and minds of rational thinking, traditional Americans. But of course, the media play this up as, oh my gosh, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. The Marines are so homo-friendly now, and they're so diverse and accepting. I mean, and so they put this picture out there. They put it everywhere they could. It was one of the biggest news stories in the country, in the world. This Marine, this so-called Marine doing this. And, of course, some people, decent people, Christian people, rational thinking people, people who aren't plagued with mental illness, they looked at this and said, listen, I mean, come on. Not only is this immoral, sad, disgusting, ridiculous, abnormal, the guy's doing it in his military fatigues. He's doing it in his Marine-issued garb. Have a little respect. I'm going to tell you more about the story when we come back. It's not your grandpa's Marine Corps anymore. Where's Arlie Ermey when you need him? Stay tuned.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Well, my family is a very interesting family because we're what you would call a stable family.
My family doesn't smoke or drink because my mother brought me up in a Christian home. I guess that's what kind of has kept me straight, because I've always looked up to the Lord.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
My parents always taught me, you know, the difference between right and wrong. They always taught me that smoking isn't right because physically it's not good for you, and also mentally it affects you. And they always taught, always try to do the right thing, because things catch up to you in life sooner or later. I think kids learn behavior patterns from their parents because they're the people that they mostly see. They're the people who we love and respect. So the people who you love the most and respect the most from is who you tend to take things from.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, it's Dennis Daly. Now that the world is electronically interconnected and there are microphones and cameras everywhere, we seem to be inundated with news. News from the street, where people are commenting about the economy.
Corporations have grasped control of our government, and we would like it back.
A lot of the news comes from the halls of Congress.
I guess Republicans think if the economy improves, it might help President Obama.
Police stories and stories of tragedy make up a big part of the news.
Other responding officers who arrived saw the suspect, what they thought was the suspect vehicle, leaving the area.
And of course, a steady flow comes from the White House.
We want to get some infrastructure built in this country. We think that putting construction workers back to work is important.
But you know, a lot of news comes from a lot of other places, and a lot of it doesn't get reported. That's why I'm here, Monday through Friday, with the news you might not hear anywhere else, from Liberty News Radio.
When the truth is found to be...
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, so we got a lot of news to cover this hour, and I'm going to try to get through it as quickly as possible. But wrapping up on this insane story, and I tell you, it's such a sad state of affairs that you would even have to spend any amount of time on the radio pointing out the sickness of homosexuality. I mean, it's not an alternative to lifestyle. It's a sickness. It's sinful. It's degenerate behavior. It's a Darwinian dead end. Even if you're not a Christian, you have to understand that humanity wouldn't exist. There's obviously something wrong with this on a purely biological level. And so the fact that we have to even talk about this as if there's another belief out there regarding homosexuality shows just how far the world has devolved. But here's the story. I mean, listen to how the media presents this. Sergeant Brandon Morgan didn't expect to become a global phenomenon when he kissed his partner upon returning from a six-month deployment to Afghanistan. But then last weekend, a friend posted a photo of their embrace on the Gay Marines page on Facebook. Morgan, in desert camouflage, is seen wrapping his legs around his boyfriend. A large American flag draped from the ceiling in an aircraft hangar at a Marine base in Hawaii is the background. The 25-year-old Marine from Oakdale, California, said it was a great moment in history, but he really just wanted to show his love to his boyfriend when he landed in Hawaii on February 22nd. We all know this will die down and become the norm, meaning homosexuality, degenerate, immoral behavior will become the norm. It is the norm, he says. Everyone is allowed, no matter where you are, to have a homecoming now. Other people wrote that this homosexual display was inspiring, brave, bravery, wonderful. I love him so much. It was just my chance to show him how much I love him openly. I'm still a Marine. You know, again, folks, with soldiers like this on our side, who needs adversaries abroad? And of course, once the media, latched onto this and started painting it as the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the Marine Corps, they found a few people to cast as the bad guys. And of course, the bad guys are anybody who opposes this sort of behavior. And that gave the opportunity for the two homosexuals here to claim that they're just out there fighting for their civil rights, to be perverts in uniform, their civil rights to do these kind of things. hey, you know, if I'm the last person in the world that believes, I don't hate homosexuals. Let me just put that out there. I don't hate anybody, but it is immoral. They need help. They need therapy. They need very serious, very serious therapy. All right. It's all the things I mentioned. It's sad, disgusting, ridiculous, immoral, abnormal. And if I'm the last person in the world that thinks that way, then so be it. But I'll still think that way. And as long as there's life in me to give me breath, I will practice my God-given right to freedom of speech to oppose this type of degeneracy. And I'll let the chips fall where they may. All right, but this is just one of many, many symptoms of the cancer of cultural Marxism and political correctness that is infecting our society at every possible level. I mean, did you know that chanting, have you ever seen the Olympics, USA, 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 people chanting USA? Well, now that's racist code. It's deemed to be racist now if you chant USA. In San Antonio, a local school district is apologizing after an apparent incident of racism at a boys' high school basketball game this past weekend. USA, 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 they chanted. San Antonio Independent School District officials took the chant as a racial insult to a school with all minority players from a school with mostly white ones. So basically what happened was there was two high schools competing in San Antonio. The school that had mostly white players beat a school that had mostly non-white players. I'm imagining illegal aliens. I'm just guessing they're going to be of some sort of a Mexican extraction. And once the white team won, the crowd started chanting USA, USA, USA. Well, I wonder why they would do that. I mean, and of course the media is condemning them as being racist for chanting USA, USA, USA. But do you think that, I don't know. Do you think the same media condemns the students at the Mexican school, the school that has mostly Mexican students of Mexican ancestry? Do you think they condemn them when they wear their Cinco de Mayo shirts, when they have the Mexican flag bumper sticker on their car, and they celebrate Mexican heritage in their American school? Do you think that that's met with charges of racism? Let's go to clip one. I'm going to let you hear this for yourself. This comes from the San Antonio local news. Clip one.
Local school district apologizing tonight after an apparent incident of racism at a boys' high school basketball game this past weekend. Tonight, the defenders look into what happened after Alamo Heights beat Edison. Here's the night team's Brian Mylar.
When the final whistle blew Saturday, Alamo Heights celebrated a convincing victory over San Antonio Edison.
Tremendously proud. Tremendously. It's the best group of kids.
But it was just after the trophy presentation when the coach was not proud of the chant coming from Alamo Heights fans. They chanted USA, which San Antonio school district officials took as a racial insult to a school with all minority players from a school with mostly white ones. On our Facebook page, Santos Villarreal's post says this has to stop.
This is very disrespectful to our students.
She says the district is glad the coach put a stop to the chant immediately and hopes Alamo Heights addresses this.
It is surprising and it's disappointing to hear that, you know, anyone would be out there making those kind of remarks.
Edison students who attended Saturday's game were shocked when they heard the chant. They thought the fans of the victors should have been better behaved. Ruby Arredondo and Forrest LeBaron are seniors and Julian Castellano is a junior.
I was very surprised. Very appalled.
They didn't really have any class. It just rubbed us the wrong way.
We just hope people know that that's not who we are, and we're not going to let it happen again.
Alamo Heights has apologized to SAISD. The students identified will also have to apologize and have been banned from the state title games.
We think that you have to earn a right to be there, and that's not a reflection of our school district.
Both districts are now just trying to move past this disturbing incident. For the defenders, Brian Mylar, KSAT 12 News.
And sadly, this is not the first time it's happened. Another SAISD school, Lanier High, faced a similar incident within the last year from students in the Cedar Park School District.
Folks, this story, now you know I've been doing this show for 8 years, going on 8 years this fall. This story makes me so furious I could literally spit nails. And what's so infuriating about it is the response that the school district has issued. They chanted USA, USA, USA. Where do we live? In the United States. I mean, if someone is offended that people chant the name of our country and that offends them, first of all, they aren't Americans, obviously. They don't consider themselves to be Americans. And for the school district to apologize, for them to suspend the students from the next basketball game because they chanted USA. You know, anyone who is offended with USA, USA, USA being chanted at a high school basketball game, number one, they aren't Americans, and number two, they can get back to wherever it is that they came from. They don't belong here. If you are offended or you believe that it is racist for people to shout the name of this country, go back to wherever you came from. For that coach, what a coward. I really got to watch myself. I'm glad we're coming up on a break because I really want to let loose on this guy. For the coach, for the school administrations to apologize, to say that it was classless for the students to shout USA. I mean, my God, I consider myself to be a Confederate. It doesn't even bother me. This is a sick, sick country we've lived in and that we live in. And these people, these cowards need to be... They need to let it be known. They need to know what they are. Anyway, read more about it at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're taking a break. We'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs, and there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift. Freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
They don't cry. get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, I had 3 minutes to cool off during the break, but it wasn't nearly enough. I'm just sitting here stewing over the sad shape of affairs. And, you know, America has devolved into this. This is why we call it the political cesspool. I mean, these are the kind of stories, the kind of filth, the kind of sewage that we have to clean out each week here on the radio program. I mean, this show has its name for a reason. First of all, the Founding Fathers would be rolling over in their grave. If the Founding Fathers had the foresight to see what America would look like some 230, 40 years after their sacrifices, no way in hell they risk all that for us. I mean, why would they? What's the point? If they knew what weaklings their offspring was going to be, you know, why even take the chance? You know, there would have never been an American Revolution if they could have seen how weak their children were going to behave in the 21st century. And so now, you know, again, the definition of racism used to be an irrational hatred for people of a different ethnic group. Now, obviously, it's just that you're white. As Bob Whitaker always says, anti-racist is code for anti-white. If shouting USA, USA, USA makes one a racist, you know, it wasn't as if these kids at the high school game were going out and calling these other kids, these Mexicans, the Mexican team, racial epithets. It wasn't as though they were going out there and pummeling them because they had darker skin. They shouted USA, 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 because you know that these kids from the school that's predominantly of Mexican ancestry, you know, they put it in your face, that La Raza, that Mexican pride, even though they're on American soil. And so naturally, you get your fill of that. And they shouted USA, USA, USA in response to a victory that they had. And they are suspended. They're shouted down as racist. You know, there is no appeasement with the left. It started with the Confederate flag. Oh, no. You cannot have pride in the Confederate flag because the Confederacy was racist. Well, now you can't have pride in the United States flag, apparently. At least not in San Antonio, Texas. Folks, I got to get off this one, but read the story for yourself. Chanting USA, USA is now racist code at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, another story. Rush Limbaugh has lost. Now it's up to 40 advertisers for calling a left-wing radical. He called her a slut. Now try to keep up with me here. Rush Limbaugh calls this radical feminist this name on his radio program. He immediately apologizes, I think within a day or two. The woman in question, the Marxist feminist radical, Sandra Fluke, rejects his apology. Then a multitude of sponsors of Rush's show pull their support. Meanwhile, ABC is having no trouble whatsoever finding sponsors for good Christian female dogs, if you know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm not defending Rush Limbaugh for what he called Sandra Fluke. I don't think it was necessary, but let's face it. She is what she is. She's a radical leftist feminist who's on a campaign to provide free condoms and birth control pills to humanity at taxpayer expense. The media is treating her as though she was some delicate little flower that needed to be protected from the evil Rush Limbaugh, when in fact she's a lifelong homosexual rights and radical feminist activist. That's what she is. She went before Congress. The House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee, she testified before them saying that even though she goes to Georgetown, you know how much tuition costs to go to Georgetown? And even though Georgetown, like most colleges, has a Christian tradition, at least when you go back to its founding, it was founded on Christian principles. Well, she complains that, listen, it's costing her $3,000 for birth control pills. It's costing her $3,000 for contraception, and that's just too much. That needs to be picked up by the taxpayers. First of all, how much sex is this woman having to go through $3,000 worth of condoms in her college career? All right? So she goes and says, everybody who goes to college ought to have free contraception so they can go out and have reckless and dangerous sex and immoral sex and to go out and do that. And listen, we don't want to pay for it either. We want to do it. We want to abuse our bodies, but we don't want to have to pay for the contraception. All right, so it's going to be $3,000 per female per college, please. And Rush Limbaugh picks up on that. And here's what he said, and I'm reading verbatim from Rush Limbaugh's website. What does it say about the college co-ed Sandra Fluke, who goes before a congressional committee and essentially says that she must be paid to have sex? What does that make her? It makes her a slut, right? It makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex. She's having so much sex that she can't afford the protection. She wants you and me and the taxpayers to pay her to have sex. What does that make us? Are we pimps? Are we Johns? We would be the Johns. No, we're the Johns. Yeah, that's right. Pimp's not the right word. Okay, so she's a slut. And he goes on from there. Now, that's what Rush Limbaugh said. And again, to go back to what I was saying, I don't think it was entirely necessary, but if the shoe fits, let's go ahead and wear it. Now, the media instantly pilloried Rush for calling this woman a name. I'm not crying over spilled milk here. She got called a slut. I get called much worse than that on a daily basis by national news entities, national media personalities, and nobody once has ever felt the need to offer me an apology. No one once has gone to my defense and said, listen, you know, all of these organizations that are falsely characterizing James Edwards, I might add, as this, 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 and this, they need to apologize. At least in my, listen, somebody calls me a ridiculous name like a neo-Nazi. That is completely ridiculous. I would take the apology. All right, but I'm not going out here acting like a jackbooted thug. I get on the radio and I present traditional paleo-conservative viewpoints, and these idiots want to say that's neo-Nazi rhetoric or whatever. That is far more ludicrous than Rush Limbaugh calling someone who wants free birth control so she can go out and have promiscuous sex a slut. But I've never gotten an apology. But the fact of the matter is, name-calling is a part of politics. I wish that it wasn't, but it is. Now, if this woman, if Sandra Fluke wants to be a man so bad, then she needs to be prepared to do battle in a man's world. She wants to be a man? Okay, well, be a man. And this is what happens in a man's world. Unfair things happen. It's dirty. It's flagrant. It's vicious. And that's it. But you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't be a radical feminist, a radical egalitarian Marxist, and go out there and try to be a man and try to wear pants and try to destroy American society with your radical homosexual philosophy and all this other stuff. And then, okay, you want to be a man. You want to be a man. You want to go fight. And then when somebody calls you a name, you want to play the other side. Oh, well, I'm just a woman. I'm 30 years old. I'm a delicate flower that needs protecting. No, you're either one or the other. You're either a woman, or you're going to act like one. If you're going to act like a man, then by God, welcome to my world. But that's not how it was. She gets to play the best of both worlds. She gets to be a man and go out there and do all of this stuff. But then she gets protected by the media because she's a radical left-wing man, Sandra Fluke is. Well, again, El Rushbo, I'm sorry, buddy, but appeasement never works. You should have taken a lesson from my playbook and not offered the apology. It just makes you look weak, and it certainly didn't curry you any favor with the left. It never does. But the most insane thing of this whole ordeal with Sandra Fluke isn't the fact that Rush lost his advertising base. It isn't the fact that she gets to play both sides. Barack Obama personally called this woman to make sure she was okay and that her feelings weren't hurt. Okay? This woman, this radical left-wing egalitarian pro-sodomite, anti-American values, anti-everything that made this country great, she goes out, she gets to do all of this stuff, she gets her feelings hurt, and the president calls her. The president. Utterly ridiculous. This woman gets called a name by a radio personality, and that warrants a call from the president. Folks, We got it all, again, at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Read the article entitled Rush Limbaugh Loses Advertisers, and watch the video. You know, we try to complement a lot of our articles with some video media. And we got it there. Sandra Fluke gets a call from Obama, and she's on. She's getting interviewed by some talking head, and she's getting treated with kid gloves. Check it out. Check it out. We got to take a break. ThePoliticalCesspool.org. Let me know what you think. Leave a comment. We'll be back with more right after this.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the show continues to charge forward this evening. I want to remind you that we're having a party right now, and you are invited to join us at the Political Cesspool Online virtual fan party, the online chat at cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Lots of people in there having a good time talking about the show, listening to it, and sharing their thoughts with one another. If you haven't yet joined us, do it now. Still time to get in there and have some fun. We still have over an hour left in tonight's broadcast, so join us at cofcc.org. Come on into the chat room. We've been covering a lot of ground tonight. A couple of quick tidbits before we We round out the second hour. Just in terms of comic relief, I know we've been dealing with some pretty upsetting stories here. The Sandra Fluke story, the homosexual Marine story, and how they're being championed as just everything that's great in America, when it's the exact opposite is true. And, of course, the completely mind-numbing story about what happened in San Antonio, where shouting USA, USA, USA is getting kids suspended from school because that's, you know, like white supremacist rhetoric, apparently. But we do have some stuff from the lighter side. Ray Stevens. Now, there's one Grammy winner who isn't afraid to tell the truth. We got a video from Ray Stevens up. He's singing a new song about Obama's budget plan. You can check that out. And as I've said before, I've been a fan of Ray Stevens for a long, long time. Turn Your Radio On, great song. Misty, probably his best. He's a Southerner, born in Georgia, obviously a plain-spoken gentleman with a lot of common sense. He's been speaking out more and more on behalf of paleoconservative political issues lately. He had the song that we featured on our website a couple of times, Come to the USA, that makes a mockery of illegal immigration. Well, he's got a new one out about Obama's budget plan, and we have that at thepoliticalcesspool.org for you. Our good friend Paul Babiou, now, I guess he's also another living embodiment now of everything that makes America great, because he has been accused of having a homosexual relationship with a male student now. You remember he got into some hot water a couple of weeks ago when it came out that he was having a homosexual relationship with an illegal alien, even though he was supposed to be Mr. Tough on Borders, tough on illegal immigration. Well, now it's being alleged by his sister and by students at a school that he served as headmaster of before he moved to Arizona. Now he's being accused of having a homosexual relationship with a male student at that school. You can get that information. We're not going to cover that. That's almost too sick even for the political cesspool. But it's there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. The ADL wants you to know that Pat Buchanan deserved to be fired from MSNBC. And they've rehashed his appearance on our show as an exhibit of that. He said something on our show that certainly warranted his termination. He said that when whites become a minority in the U.S., they will face havoc and turmoil that Californians are experiencing due to the growing Hispanic population in that state. And since Pat said that on this show, no less, listen, you got to fire him. And the ADL took credit for his firing and said it's a badge of honor that Buchanan has blamed them for the campaign to turn him into a pariah. That comes from Abe Foxman. Check it out, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's all there. It's all there and much, much more. Quick story before I take a call, and then we're going to get to something else this segment. Super Tuesday. Tennessee was in play last week. I went and voted for Ron Paul on Tuesday, and I come to find out Wednesday morning, of course, Ron Paul came in last in Tennessee, they say. They said Ron Paul only got 43,000 votes in all of Tennessee. I am here to tell you that I've seen 43,000 Ron Paul signs in Memphis alone, it seems. I've seen more Ron Paul signs and bumper stickers in Memphis. I don't even know if I've seen a single one for any of the other ones. I haven't seen a Newt Gingrich, a Mitt Romney, or a Rick Santorum yard sign or bumper sticker anywhere. I see Ron Paul stuff every day. And apparently, he barely even registered here in Tennessee. I don't believe that for a second. I just don't. The only thing good that came from voting with Ron Paul is that he guaranteed that my lifelong streak of never voting for a winner has remained unblemished. But I just, hard to believe, based upon just what I've seen. I guess everybody that voted for Ron Paul had a yard sign in their lawn. And everybody who didn't have a yard sign up voted against Paul. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. Anyway, I did go vote Tuesday. I voted for Paul. And according to the official vote tallies, I am a loser yet again. We're going to take a quick call from Tim in Arkansas, and then we're going to get on to a tribute for the late, great Davy Jones. Tim, you're on the air. Are you with me, Tim?
Hey. Listen, just a little aside here. Most of this stuff is planned by the media. I think you know this.
Sure.
This woman she was planned. This whole thing was, orchestrated by Obama because he got in trouble with particularly the Catholic Church. because they wanted to force the churches to participate on their medical programs with contraception. And so what they did is they basically turned it around and thought, well, what we'll do is we'll get this woman, we'll bring her up there, and we'll make a martyr out of her. And sure enough, you know, Rush either deliberately or by accident stepped in it and you know, supposedly made a martyr out of this person.
I appreciate the call, Tim. I think you very much may be onto something. Very little happens in politics by chance. I think we'll certainly agree with that, and I appreciate Tim for bringing forth that observation. It's something I should have made, and I appreciate him for adding that on there. Yeah. I mean, I think
the same thing with the gays kissing. It's the same thing. That was planned. That's not an accident.
Well, yeah. The fact that there was a camera there and it got out there. Yeah. Listen, I don't doubt that a bit either, and the media was all too ready to move forward and get that story out. Good point, Tim, and point well taken. I know we're running short on time here. We don't have the time to play this entire clip, but as everyone knows by now, Davy Jones succumbed to a heart attack last week, 66 years old. I'd intended to post a memorial to Davy Jones on the blog last week, but I was out of town at the time and without internet access. But my wife and I met Davy Jones at a concert not long ago. We had front row seats to the show. He was kind enough to invite my wife on stage, and no less, and presented her to the crowd during Daydream Believer, no less. We visited with Davy Jones backstage. Great gentleman. He signed a picture to the radio show that still adorns our walls here at the broadcast studio. Got a picture with him, which is on our website right now, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Music's never going to be as good as it once was, and the passing of legends like Davy Jones only hastens the end of that era. But I'd like to play now for you, at least to the extent that we can. We're not going to be able to get it all in, but a touching rendition of a live performance of Davy Jones' Daydream Believer. Let's hit that now and let it take us into the break, and then I'll be back with you in the third hour.
I'd like to thank all the people here tonight for coming. Have a great time. When you go back to your houses in America here, I want you to sing like no one's listening and dance like no one's watching and love like you have never been hurt before. And when life gets too hard to stand, kneel. I'd like to thank my sister for coming, and my friends Basil, and Richard, and Jose, and Abuela, and Miriam, and each and every one of you. Thank you so much for the support. Appreciate it. One more time, Basil. I could hide neath the wings of the bluebird as it sings. 6 o'clock alarm would never ring, but it rings and I rise, wipe the sleep out of my eyes, share that racer's cool and it's in, and of course, Jose.
Believe
believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.